This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. Today we're talking with Steve Dickens about mainframe as a service.
Hi Ian, glad to be on your podcast. Thanks for taking the time.
Do you want to give people introductions to what you do and what mainframe as a service means?
I'm responsible for our mainframe as a service business, what's catchily called within IBM Cloud Managed Services on said systems. We're seeing a dynamic in the marketplace where clients are still strategically investing in the mainframe, still passionate about the workload that they run on their mainframe, but they're trying to adopt a cloud-first strategy. It's not a get off the mainframe, it's not a how do we look to get away from the platform. Those days are gone. What we're seeing is, if you look at IBM's latest results, an increase in spend on revenue on mainframe technology. With our catchily titled Cloud Managed Services on Z Systems, what we nickname Z Cloud, what we're doing is enabling clients who are strategically invested in the workloads that are on their mainframe, but giving them a different operational model, running those workloads in the cloud and paying for them on a consumption basis.
A lot of this has come about over the last decade since you brought Linux onto the mainframe, because that's where, when we look at the numbers you send out, all seem to break out. 8,000 Linux VMs on a Z13. When you look at the customers doing this, how many of these customers are looking at this as an internal project? Because you also have some people who've bought the machines purely simply to offer a hybrid cloud option as a cloud provider, haven't you?
I've been here this week. I'm actually IBM's board representative on a Linux Foundation collaborative project, open mainframe project, and we've had a press release come out this week. We've seen an explosion in numbers on our members to the project. Had a packed room come and join me whilst I was presenting, and a couple of new potential members come and approach us after the presentation. So Linux on the platform is really exploding. I think it's up over now 40% of clients who've got mainframes are running Linux on the box, for a couple of reasons. As Linux workloads mature, people are moving more and more mission-critical workloads to Linux generally, so they're looking at the enterprise qualities. As we talked to some of the open source vendors, the likes of Mongo, who are here presenting with us this week, what's come through is, as Linux has got more mission-critical, the need to host it on a platform that's more mission-critical is starting to come through. As Mongo decide to go head-to-head with Oracle, they're getting into the enterprise space that Oracle occupies. The clients are then asking performance, availability, security, scale. We're a natural partner for somebody like Mongo in that space, because we can run huge MongoDB databases without the need for, say, sharding. Sharding's a great technology, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but for certain huge MongoDB instances that you may want to run in an architecture, it's maybe not the approach to take. We're working with somebody like Mongo on a scale-up infrastructure for their database architecture, which gives them something else in their kit bag for a particular scenario. To go back to the first point of your question, seeing a huge explosion with Linux, both attached to ZOS workloads in our traditional Z system space, but also this week you'll have heard us talk about Linux One, the Linux-only environment that leverages the same technology as Z systems. We're seeing clients invest in Linux One because they've got Linux-only requirements that pull through performance, availability, scale and security. So that's the first part of it. We're also seeing, as I say, an explosion in ZOS workloads. This connectivity, API Connect, and some of this API economy piece, as people look to connect new modern workloads to their mainframe, Spark running on ZOS now, they're looking at connecting some of these new web mobile applications, and they want RESTful API connections back into the mainframe. Lots going on this week in the mainframe space. Very different messages to where we maybe were 5-10 years ago.
One of the interesting things is, as you've got Linux, you've therefore brought the open source in. At the same time, you took that whole change of direction 18 months ago. Instead of taking large amounts of data, going through complex ETL, using up a large amount of processing, network and other storage capabilities, and then moving that data out to those applications on other platforms, the direction change was to bring the application to the data. Linux and open source has given you that opportunity to do that. The APIs to then address ZOS on the other side of the mainframe also makes that easy. How much is that now becoming the primary driver for a lot of these customers?
Well, it's interesting you bring up ETL. I think ETL's an interesting area to dig into. With Spark now running natively on ZOS, some of these big data projects I think our approach is, why move the data to the analytics? Why not bring the analytics to the data? If you've got a system of record that's handling transactional data, it's handling supply chain data, it's handling credit card or client data, it's the richest, most current data within your organization. It's the freshest. So do the analytics on the fresh data instead of ETL it overnight. We're seeing that within the core of ZOS. As I say, Spark and Big Data and analytics running against ZOS-based data natively within ZOS. So that's one piece. If, however, you're looking to do analytics using Linux and open source, again, why ETL off the platform? Build a Linux environment next to your ZOS environment, your DB2, your Kix, your IMS, the system of record applications. Build a Linux environment next to that and you leverage the hyperlinks and the connections between the ZOS and the Linux within the box. Be able to connect those together so you can do analytics on Linux but on the same box as the ZOS, where you've got those transactional fresh data sources, and deliver analytics. And I kind of hate this phrase, but deliver analytics at the point of impact. If I'm at the till making a transaction, you want to give me the offer then. You don't want to give it me as I've left the store. You want to influence my buying behavior at the point of impact when I'm making the purchasing decision. You know, would you like fries with that? You know, that phrase that grates with us all. But if you can get a connect rate that you didn't get before, because you've seen that the last four times I bought from you, I bought fries, but I'm not ordering fries today, and you ask me that question, you want to ask it me as I'm checking out. So it's, how do you do that analytics in real time?
One of the reasons why people started moving away from the mainframe was skills. Another reason was the length of time it took to do that ETL onto another platform, and then the connectivity from that platform down to the end user devices. Linux sitting there has enabled you to flatten that out. WebSphere has stepped up, and it's effectively just moved the middleware. Instead of having multi-tiers of hardware, we're now going straight from mainframe to mobile devices, with WebSphere acting in its traditional role as middleware, but being able to glue, as you say, systems of record, systems of transaction, all into the one place and deliver to the end point of contact. How much is that working for customers? Are customers starting to retire N-tier systems and flattening out, or are customers still in that phase of trying to understand what it means to them and how it saves them money?
It's going to depend client by client. We're starting to see this RESTful API connectivity model start to become pervasive in the industry generally. Clients are starting to think of that, maybe move away from SOA architectures and move to RESTful APIs. So I think the mainframe's just playing a part in that as we look to enterprise architects and position that message and say, you want to talk RESTful APIs, you want to talk all of these new open source platforms, the mainframe's got a part to play in that. Yes, we're very good at the system of record, we're that huge box that delivers that transactional capability, but we're not the box you maybe would have expected. We've now got the capability to handle those system of engagement, deal with those RESTful APIs, and open up this data source, this rich, fresh, current data source, to be accessed by lots of different devices, whether that's a mobile banking application coming straight to the platform, it's a retail application. And what we can do, because of the scale and performance of this box, just from an inherent hardware perspective, is handle some of those spikes as you look to bring on a new application. It's architecturally elegant that you're not putting lots of boxes and N-tier elements in the architecture. It's performance scalable. We're seeing a lot of focus on security. Blockchain's one that's been talked about a lot this week. How you build blockchain instances close to your system of record. So if you want to open up your supply chain and bring trusted partners in so they can work with you on your ledger, there's going to be a supply chain element of that that sits behind it. Why not build the blockchain network on the same technology that you're running your core systems on?
I'd like to come back later to the spike issue on hybrid cloud. Bluemix has evolved rapidly over the last 2 years. More importantly, it treats the mainframe as a first-class platform, and through the APIs, we're now seeing third-party developers actually programming against systems of record, something that even 5 years ago would have had IT managers and mainframe teams sweating overnight. It was their worst nightmare, people accessing data off the mainframe without all the things they put to protect them. That change, how much has that increased the type of applications and the number of applications that are now talking direct to the mainframe?
I think it's just made it frictionless. You talked about it, and maybe I'm paraphrasing, but in your question talked about some of the friction that was there. It was a different mainframe team. We worshipped different gods and we spoke in different tongues. So there was always a potential challenge just around communication. I think by, as you say, putting composable applications, microservices, RESTful API calls on a platform like Bluemix and having those connect to a back-end system of record has broken down some of those language barriers, some of those perception barriers. And the transformation we've been on over the last 5 years of making this an open mainframe that can be spoken to by these new innovative applications, it's meaning a lot more collaboration. To answer your specific question, a proliferation of applications. We're seeing microservices. You may have seen what we're doing with Walmart around caching as a service. That's a service that is called by multiple applications within Walmart, but it's running on the mainframe. So the way it's exposed to the application developer is caching and encryption as a service within the internal service catalog, but it's proposed as a microservice that actually the deployment platform is the mainframe. So it's abstracted to the application developer and seen as a microservice in their internal catalog, but the delivery platform has got the inherent performance characteristics, security characteristics that they needed. And I think that's just going to open up the aperture for clients to be able to think, how do I get to the data that's on this box? Because there's not an architectural friction that there maybe was before.
When I first came into this business a few decades ago, the average price of a mainframe was many millions. These days, we look at the list price of a Z13, and we're talking just barely a six-figure sum. In fact, when we look at Linux One, we're not even into six figures. That's introduced other people into the market. First of all, for companies, the mainframe is no longer that huge empty pocket moment. But we've seen the growth of a number of companies who are offering mainframe cloud as third parties. They're offering a hybrid option. What sort of companies are taking advantage of that? Because I would think people like banks would be slightly nervous, but maybe some other customers in retail perhaps.
Well, it's interesting. I come to conferences like this and I get an awareness of some of the case studies. One that resonates with me, and it's probably 2-3 years old now, was a company called White Cube in the UK. Small art gallery who'd had an outage on their x86 systems and effectively were impacting their business. I've got the details, but probably worth sharing that there was a real material impact to some of their transactions, impacted how they dealt with their clients. Back when I was in the UK, I was close to them as a client. They approached IBM looking for a Linux server that didn't fail. That was the Google search. Linux servers that don't fall over. I can imagine them starting their journey, came across our Linux offerings, and what was driving them was just this focus on availability. Their data center was smaller than the building we're sitting in, 2 or 3 racks worth, but they've consolidated their entire infrastructure onto Linux on this box because they were driven by a particular security need. So I think some of the price reductions that you talk about have just opened up new markets. So I'd encourage clients who've maybe got requirements that are towards the enterprise scale for performance, availability, security and scale to start to think about Linux on the mainframe and Linux One as a way to get those capabilities without the premiums that were there before.
What about the hybrid side of the question in terms of people now using third parties who've bought a mainframe, they've set it up, and I can now take my mainframe instances and I can start to push some of those Linux instances into a cloud?
We've got an explosion of the managed service providers, so being able to weigh as a managed service provider to get away from reselling commodity clouds and being able to offer a differentiated cloud service to your client, again, performance, availability, security and scale. You can then service different parts of the market as a managed service provider. So it's not going to be as maybe mass market as AWS. But I'd argue as a managed service provider trying to add value around AWS, you're going to be in a commodity market. The ability to wrap that with services and differentiate yourself is going to be tough. If you can build off a Linux One infrastructure and offer enhanced qualities of service, availability, security, scale, MongoDB as a service at scale, database serving at scale, different performance characteristics, and package that into a compelling offering as a managed service provider, you're going to find a niche. Now, maybe you don't find volume, but you find a niche and you can drive a profitable model. So that's what we're seeing in the managed service provider space.
It's interesting, listening to you talk, I'm reminded of the reason why we went to clustered servers, the reason why mini computers survived as long as they did. And it seems now we've kind of come full circle. We've brought the pricing of the mainframe down, where actually that reliability on its own is replaced why we went into clustered environments. Is that something that customers recognise, or is that an older generational IT person?
I had Ginny describe the mainframe business as what's old is new, and she was talking about it in the context of our newest workload, i.e. blockchain, runs on the mainframe that supports our high security business network offering for blockchain as a service under Bluemix. So I think what goes around comes around from a fashion point of view. This move to a cloud delivery model is something all IT directors, CIOs have got a cloud-first strategy, but they're also thinking, what do they do about these core applications? How do they move some of these core mission-critical, if it goes down, I get fired applications to the cloud? And that's where the mainframe's got a space.
You've gone with an open source project, mainframe as a service. We've got Linux sitting in place. Both of those speak to the ability to bring many more people onto the platform. The skills issue that was starting to get worse and worse under ZOS now doesn't become such a big issue if you're going to be 40% plus of Linux on the platform. Is that beginning to now pay back dividends?
The Linux piece is interesting. It builds a vibrancy within the core mainframe franchise. It helps with some of that connectivity we talked about. It gives us another stream of business with the Linux One piece. The skills issue, I think, is behind us now. We're starting to see, as I say, people move to cloud delivery models. One of the reasons maybe that would be from a skills perspective. IBM's doing some really strong work in the academic initiative, the Master the Mainframe program. The Open Mainframe project that I'm involved with, we're taking 11 interns on over the summer to code and develop Linux applications and open source applications on the mainframe. One of our interns who came through the program last year finished college and got instantly hired by one of our members. So we're seeing that skills issue as behind us, I think, for a number of different reasons. Platform vibrancy, people are seeing that it's a strategic area for them. They're investing. There's these skills programs both within the organization and under the Linux Foundation. I would say those skills challenges are largely behind us.
Always a difficult question to ask in IBM because people generally don't want to answer it. But what can customers expect to see over the next year?
Watch this space without giving away things that would get me fired. I think watch this space for the mainframe core platform. Anybody who tracks where we are from a mainframe hardware refresh cycle probably knows something's coming. Kipsy amongst the development teams, I think there's going to be some exciting times ahead. Some transformational developments gone on over the last couple of years. That top line revenue growth has given us the ability to reinvest and reinvest in the core of the technology. So I think that's going to come to market the back end of this year and really, I think, surprise people. Again, the themes will be security, availability, performance, scale. You know, there'll be some core hardware elements that support that. But I think you'll see some things that come out that really speak to the big industry trends. So you'll see the platform repositioned, not so much as a hardware refresh, but just really as an enabling platform to handle where the industry is going. Some of those top three challenges that a CIO would be facing, the new hardware will be speaking to that.
Sounds cool. Stephen, thank you for your time.
Fantastic. Always good to talk to you, Ian.